Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Bob Port. And Bob Port, unfortunately, from my point of view, although he doesn't agree, has moved from Albany down to New York City. We miss you up here. So, Bob, how are you feeling?
Well, I miss you, too. And as you know, I'm fighting cancer, and I feel okay. I have some really excellent doctors down here at the VA hospital in Manhattan, really excellent. And we're working through the problems, and I look forward to being alive for a couple more years at least.
Make that like 20 and 30 from my perspective.
Maybe.
But hopefully, yeah. You know, every day I turn on the news and it seems like there's a new calamity going on. What's your opinion? And we've done a couple of shows on this already, but what's your opinion of the Trump administration from what we've seen going on?
Sure. Well, let me just first explain. You know, I'm a retired newsman, editor, investigative reporter for almost 40 years. And now I'm disabled with a lot of time on my hands. And I watch and read an awful lot of news. And I try to watch everything I can. I watch Fox News. I watch CBS News, which is my favorite all-around source. And read the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, to some extent. My opinion about Donald Trump, first let me also say, for most of my life, I've been a flaming liberal Democrat. But at the age of 61 and watching the direction our country's taken in recent years, the past couple decades, I really have become very conservative in many ways. And I actually like Donald Trump a lot. And I think his administration, given what it was up against, which was a mission to, summed up in one way, drain the swamp, has actually been very successful. And I like the president's tweets, and I wish he would tweet more. I'd love it if Donald Trump would tweet every hour about whatever's on his mind and tell it exactly like it is. I think all of the staff changes that have erupted in the White House are going to be all for his benefit. General Kelly becoming the chief of staff is a really great thing. Reince Priebus has proven to be ineffective in working with Trump and Trump's family. So I see nothing but good things on the horizon. I'm particularly looking forward to a tax reform law that vastly reduces the taxes on individuals and corporations, both C-corps, traditional corporations, and small business corporations like S-corps and LLC. That will just make our economy take off like a rocket. So I think that journalists, and I used to be one, especially in Washington, get very caught up in the moment. They have wasted our time on the Russia thing, as I like to call it. It's an utter ridiculous investigation going nowhere. If you notice, the news about that has subsided a bit, and that's because they're not finding anything. That's my general take. I was sad to see healthcare reform hit a brick wall in the Senate, but I'm sure it's going to be back. And perhaps the best thing at this point is to strike a deal with the Democrats. And that won't be with the leaders, Pelosi or Schumer. It'll really have to be with more rank-and-file Democrats in both the House and the Senate who are willing to make a deal to fix this problem.
What do you think of McCain flying to Washington and casting his decisive vote?
I think it was payback toward Donald Trump for his remarks about John McCain, which I found very offensive myself as a veteran But I think it was payback. It was personal. And it was a swan song for John McCain, who clearly is not going to be ever reelected as a senator in from Arizona. And I wish him well with his medical problem, but he'll be fortunate if he can live out his current term as a senator. But it shows that the Republican Party is not unified. They don't have their act together. And Trump's been very critical of them, and I hope he keeps the heat up full burner on them. I think they should do away with the filibuster. It's a ridiculous practice of the Senate. It's not in the Constitution. It's just a rule that developed over decades and, I guess, centuries. And it's one the senators are loath to give up because it gives each of them individually great power to block something should they choose to do so. So that is a shocking moment. But, you know, in the end, John McCain's vote won't matter.
When you listen to the different news channels, for example, if you put on Fox and then a half hour later you put on MSNBC, it's like watching two different universes. One has a,
you're right.
You know, one has one spin and the other has another spin, and you know, MSNBC says, you know, the Donald Trump's administration has not accomplished anything, and Fox says they've accomplished, you know, a lot of stuff. So with so many different perspectives out there, how is a rational person, or who is a rational person, supposed to believe?
That's a good question. I totally agree with you. It is like parallel universes watching some of these news channels. I think there is no middle ground really in news sources these days, not very often. And I think you just have to watch all sides. Actually, I'll tell you something. I have never been a fan of Sean Hannity. I always, through most of my career, felt he was a shrill, mean-spirited conservative. But lately, some of the best reporting out of Washington is on Sean Hannity's show. Whenever someone resigns from the Trump administration, that's the first place they appear. And I encourage people to watch Sean Hannity because he's actually got a better pipeline into this new, very different administration than anyone else. And you simply have to add a grain of salt, sometimes a really big one, to any of these news outlets. NBC is just so obviously biased against the president. Every week, if you watch Meet the Press, the administration is in crisis. It's in crisis this week. It was always something in crisis. But the sky is not falling. We have military forces all around North Korea. And life goes on. And rather than focusing on some of the things the Trump administration is doing and working on and succeeding at, one of which is paring down ridiculous federal regulations, which got out of control during the Obama administration, doesn't get any coverage at all. And if you watch all of these networks, you can see through all of these biases. CNN is essentially the anti-Trump network. Fox News is the pro-Trump network. They're often not so friendly. You will see Chris Wallace just grill someone, even though it's a friendly grilling. So I think any American who's looking to get some grasp of what really is going on, what really matters, you have to watch a lot of news sources. The New York Times, much of its coverage is generally factual and down the middle and very authoritative. And it's only occasionally they run off into la-la land which is what they frequently have done with this Russia investigation.
Now, there was a new name that popped up last week, Scaramucci. And he comes dashing on the scene, and there was an interview with Ryan Lizza from The New Yorker, and he's using all of these words you wouldn't want your kids to use. I mean, what kind of an example does that portray to the people in this country?
Well, it's a bad example of how to speak, and it's very interesting. I can tell you, as a reporter, as an editor at the Associated Press, as a reporter at the Daily News in New York for several years, Scaramucci's language, his vulgarity, was nothing surprising to me. It's not unusual at all to get into a candid interview with someone, and then they simply let their hair down, so to speak, and start using such language. If you go to a public housing project in New York to talk to some people who are upset about something, you'll hear even worse vulgar language. So that'll be the last New Yorker interview with Anthony Scaramucci for a very long time, I suspect, because apparently Scaramucci didn't expect to be quoted in that way, but he got what he deserved, and not much surprises me. It doesn't bother me. I wouldn't want my nieces and nephews to hear that kind of language, but, you know, quite honestly, my nieces and nephews in their teens sometimes use that kind of language with me, and I'm always shocked. So clearly, he hated Reince Priebus. He views many members of the White House staff as being betrayers of the president's position, and he really let it out. But we're kind of stuck with him right now, and I hope he cleans up his act.
You know, given the fact that the health of the Obamacare bill did not pass, or the replace Obamacare, and, you know, for many years, the Republicans said repeal and replace. And this last time, when it wasn't repealed or replaced, Donald Trump took his ire out at the Republicans. And he was bashing Republicans. If he wants to win re-election, that wasn't a very smart move, I think. How do you feel about that?
I would have to disagree. I think it doesn't matter. He won the presidency in many ways despite the mainstream Republican Party this past election. And the people who went against him in the Senate, I would say there were ultimately first six and then add John McCain, a seventh senator who went against what he hoped for. Their days are numbered. Lisa Murkowski, the senator from Alaska, will, I predict, not be reelected. And it was shocking to me to see how she casts her votes. So he's gonna use his influence and his power to probably remove every one of these senators, many of whom are quite vulnerable. It's scattershot which one is up for re-election when, and they will probably pay a price for having gone against him. But in many ways, Donald Trump won despite the GOP. He wants to change the GOP. And I think the bitter pill he has to swallow now is there's no choice moving ahead on health care but to begin to make peace with the Democrats. And I suspect he will do that. What shocks me, I think the worst actors right now in Washington are the Democrats, the mainstream Democrats in the Senate and House, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. They just won't cooperate with anything. And Trump has reached out for them. If you remember in his speech to Congress, which was like a State of the Union speech, he offered to sign a law creating family medical leave. He offered to negotiate a law for immigration reform, and he implied that he would accept some path forward to citizenship for illegal residents of the United States. I mean, he made overtures to them. He's constantly made overtures on infrastructure. But if you're the Democratic Party, you got to get in there and play ball, and you'll get a little of what you want. And the president will get a little of what he wants. This is, to me, not unlike the early months, the first year of the Reagan administration, where there was a lot of contentious relationship with Congress. But ultimately, in his first year, Reagan got a tax cut, not as big as he wanted, and he began to get more and more and more. And the country began to see him in a very favorable light after seeing him in a pretty unfavorable one, and things changed. New York State voted against Ronald Reagan in his first run for presidency, where he was a party candidate. But New York State, where we live, one of the bluest places on earth, went for Ronald Reagan in his second term.
Right.
And I think that's a very likely scenario.
When you have a New Yorker on the top of the ticket, meaning Geraldine Ferraro, in the second term.
Yes, good point.
Yeah.
Good point, yes.
So the word dysfunction has been used quite a bit lately. And it's been used, of course, by MSNBC. You know, and...
Oh, yeah.
If you're a Democrat and you don't like Trump, you'll watch MSNBC. If you're a Republican and you like Trump, you're going to watch Fox. So when you put the TV on, both of these stations are preaching to the choir, and people refer to this stuff as gospel, when it's really a soap opera. How do you get people from looking at this to becoming involved in politics and making a change on a local level?
That is true. People are going to tend to watch whatever media reaffirm their beliefs and ignore other media. How do you change that? I would love to see more younger people in Congress step forward and challenge the status quo and seek out ways to get things done. I'd love to see the Democratic Conference in both the House and the Senate unseat their current leaders and install younger people who have a more open mind on a lot of issues and a willingness to compromise. But how do you change people's media behavior? I don't know. Ultimately, facts will come to the surface. This administration will either make this economy better or it won't. And already it's beginning to make it quite a bit better, with the hope of making it really fantastic. There's no reason not to expect the Republicans, even as contentious as things are right now, to pass a tax reform bill that would enact the largest tax cut in American history for both individuals and businesses before the end of the year, and they can make it retroactive. Think about how happy that's going to make a working family, a small business, when they sit down to do their 2017 returns several months before the 2018 midterm elections, and they're getting thousands of dollars back. And they're living in a world where lots more is happening better, quicker in the economy. That really drives elections.
You just mentioned something interesting. Let me ask you a question on what you just said. I talked about the audience for Fox. I talked about the audience for MSNBC. If one of those people who is in the MSNBC camp, like you said, makes their taxes out and sees a big difference, you know, in their taxable income, and it's to their benefit, do you think that person will say, hey, wait a minute, maybe Trump is not that bad after all? Do you think that's a possibility?
Yes, I do. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's what convinces people are really real actions that affect them personally. And a lot of what's being debated right now in Washington doesn't so much directly affect people. Even Obamacare, look, 170, 180 million Americans get their insurance through their employers. It is what it is. It isn't terrible for people. It's gotten worse. So that's important, but not a great deal. The Russia investigation in most polls scores of less interest to Americans than the environment. And that's saying it's really low. They just don't care about this kind of political sniping in Washington. So what in the end will matter is how successful the administration is in improving the economy and enforcing and reinforcing that perception across the country. So, MSNBC fans could very easily turn into, if not Trump supporters, people who find him to be the lesser of whatever evil is put forth by the Democrats in the 2020 election. Might be Andrew Cuomo, for instance, although I doubt it.
One never knows. So as you watch these programs and you listen to what they're saying from a journalist perspective, do you believe that all of these guys on TV are reading from a script?
Well, yes and no. I mean, The evening news reports that you watch, if you do, are heavily scripted and prepared by a staff. And that staff is making choices. What's the number one story, number two, et cetera. And in some respects, they're talking heads, but they have a say in how that works. And they can always kind of go off script if they choose. Little remarks.
Uh-huh.
Things like that. So, yes, there are definitely the ownership of these networks, the management of these news operations are revealing their own biases through their selection of what to report and what not to report. You know, I'll give you an example from my own experience. For 5 years, I was special assignment editor at the AP in New York. I ran an investigation team, worked for the executive editor. I was an executive. And I sat through the daily meeting. What will we put on the wire? What's number one, number two, number three? And it was quite a contentious debate many days. But at the time, the president of the AP, a gentleman named Lou Bacardi, he didn't believe in climate change. Then we called it global warming. So for years and years and years, not one single story went on the AP wire talking about what we then referred to as global warming, because Lou, our boss, thought it was fiction. So it was completely edited out. Meanwhile, you'd read about it in the New York Times as this issue was coming to the fore, and you'd see it on the news networks, but never on the AP. Each one of these news operations, back in the back room, in the back office, has somebody in a suit who is making these kinds of decisions. And it's very hard to detect. And it's something most journalists aren't too eager to talk about. Because if they did, they would be admitting they're personally a bit of a hypocrite. But so it goes. Oh. So for every network that's up to no good, there's another that's up to some good. And it's that cacophony of voices that give people an opportunity to try to figure out what's going on.
Well, let's talk about something a little more local. You know, you're kind of out of the loop for the mayoral race in Albany. Have you been following the mayoral race in New York City? And is it interesting? Yeah. Is it enlightening? What's your opinion?
You mean the mayoral race in Albany?
No. What do you think of the de Blasio race in New York City?
Well, it's interesting. In New York City on the evening news, it's been all about the subways and the trains. Mm-hmm. The transit system is seriously deteriorated here. I had been away 10 years. I used to live in Manhattan. And you can see it. You can feel it. It's incredibly crowded. Trains breaking down. Air conditioners not working in trains. Rivers of people trying to cram into these cars. It's definitely worsened, and the news media here has put that to the front. So this is on the news every day here, practically, and it's going to affect the mayor's race and the next governor's race. How exactly, I don't know, because Bill de Blasio doesn't control the subways. Andrew Cuomo does. So the perception that comes across is these two men need to start fighting and fixing problems. I've been monitoring the mayor's race in Albany from a distance through the internet. And it's fascinating. I couldn't predict for you what's going to happen, but I hope that within the next few weeks, both challengers to Kathy Sheehan get more vocal, more out there, and speak out about things. I think it's going to be a very close race, but in a three-way race, the incumbent, Kathy Sheehan, has a lot of supporters in the Democratic Party, and it's going to be all about get out the vote. We'll see what happens. Frank Commisso may have the ability to get out his own votes, and I think he has a shot.
Right. It is going to be interesting, and watching it day to day, it can be kind of tedious watching all of the stuff that's going on. But then again, I enjoy it. So, Bob, I hope you're feeling better. When's your next treatment?
This week I will be back for a chemo infusion.
Did they give any indication to you the duration of this chemo, how long it will last?
It depends on what happens in chemo is it causes damage to the body, many functions, your body's ability to produce blood, your hemoglobin levels, and your kidney functions. And this is the problem for me. My kidneys have been stressed by chemo, so they may have to reduce the dosage quite a bit and kind of tune it to my body. So I don't know, but I know that they're doing all the right tests, and the VA is an incredible benefit. I feel so lucky. They will do an MRI at the drop of a hat. They've given me machines, blood pressure machine. Whatever I want, they just give me for free. And giant bottles of Tylenol. Good luck, Bob. Here you go. So we'll see. I don't know what the future holds. And, of course, I'm going to be visiting Sloan Kettering and New York Presbyterian. Now that I've moved to New York City and I have New York State Medicaid, I'm entitled to go to those places, too. And that's where all the experts are in my form of cancer.
You know, I, as well as probably everybody else listening to this, wish you best of luck. You know, maybe it's luck, maybe it's karma, but whatever it is, my good wishes to you. So you have been listening to an enlightening conversation with Bob Ford about the Trump administration. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. And if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Bob, good luck, and I'll give you a buzz like towards the end of the week and to find out how you're doing. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.